The scripture reading for today is taken from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Can I say Happy New Year 4 days into the new year? Happy New Year. Well, let's see. I got to get set up here. Hope this works. Is it flipping? Here we go.
He did that. You want me to try to fix it?
Yeah.
I think you got it.
Beautiful. Here we go. I don't know if you've been watching television. End of year, different charities trying to meet their year-end goals. St. Jude's Children's Hospital, seeing all the kids with cancer. Sometimes it brings a tear to your eyes when you see what those parents, what the kids are going through. Shriners, kids with birth defects. The different kids talking about what they're going through. Covenant House, teens that are homeless, have no place to go. Wounded Warriors, the different veterans and what they've gone through. And you see their moms and their dads trying to take care of them and recognizing that they've got an entire life ahead of them, that they're going to need some help. American Heart Association, American Cancer Society, CHOW, locally, folks that need food. These are very, very real situations that people go through. And these groups, I'm not here to, you know, say give to these areas, but what they're doing is valid. There's a lot of need. Not everyone has these problems. You know, some of us, you can look up at the list and not have any. Some of us can look up at the list and say, yep, I've got some of these. But there's a problem that everybody has. And one of them is the technology of... There we go. We're all sinners. We all need to be rescued from sin. The Bible tells us that in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't meet the standard that God set. Simply can't do it. 1 John 1:18, now if anyone says we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We can't say that we're not sinners. We just can't do it. It's not true. Psalm 51:5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. From the moment we're conceived to the moment of our death, we sin. And we fall short of the glory of God. There we go. There's a man named Stephen Davey, and he wrote, "Sin is not just a moral failure or a bad habit. It's a spiritual condition. It places a barrier between us and God." He describes it as a chasm that we can't bridge on our own. We can't get over this chasm. We can't get past this barrier. We've got this problem. The barrier exists in the current life, and the barrier exists in the life to come, in eternity. It's the difference between eternity and paradise, or torment. The difference between heaven and hell. It's a big problem. It's a problem that everyone has, and it's a problem that needs to be solved. And there's good news. What we read a while ago, I'm going to read again. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sins he made him who knew no sin, to be sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God." I've got a timer right in the middle of the bottom two rows there. I'm going to go into this in some more detail. First thing, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself." Salvation occurs at a moment of time. Split second. 1 second, I'm the old me. The next second, I'm the new me. I'm not like 50% the new me. We do have steps that we go through that we go towards the Lord. But when salvation occurs, it occurs at a moment of time. This also, it says, if anyone is in Christ. We're talking about Christians. Meaning, if you're in Christ, you're a Christian. And meaning that you're the new creation, that you're born again, that it's the new me. And so anything that we read from here on out is going to apply to a Christian. Whether or not you've been a Christian for 1 second, or whether or not you've been a Christian for 50 years, everything we see is going to apply to them. "And gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So what is this ministry? Diakonia. An act of service with a willing attitude guided by faith. We have a ministry, whether we've been a believer for 1 second or whether we've been a believer for 50 years. And it's a service. Another translation called it a task that's assigned to us. We have a task assigned to us. It's a ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation, a restoration, a result of Christ exchanging his righteousness through his blood for our guilt. He paid for our sins on the cross with his blood. And because of that reconciliation, that restoration, we have a right standing with God. We repent. We ask Jesus to be our Savior. We recognize our sin. And we're now reconciled. So, That's what we have. We have a message. A message to tell the world that they're separated from God, but that they can be reconciled to God. And each and every one of us have that. Jesus paid the price on the cross. We've sang about that in some of the songs. To give us salvation, the free gift of salvation. And we need to tell the world about that. Therefore, when I was first a new believer, I remember the pastor saying, whenever you see a therefore, you need to ask what it's there for. This therefore is pointing back to the ministry, the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. So how are we going to do that? We're going to do that because we're ambassadors for Christ. And as a result of being an ambassador for Christ, we're going to end up having this message and this ministry. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We saw earlier about all the charities that have the television commercials. And they come out and they make their appeal to us. Jesus is making his appeal through us. We're his commercial. We're the ones that are going to talk on his behalf and talk to the world. And we're going to do that just simply by living our lives. An ambassador of Christ is more than a title. It's a daily responsibility. And all that we say and all that we do, people are going to see Christ through us. Jesus isn't going to come back and walk on the earth again, as he did described in the gospel. He's not going to do it. He's going to come back, but he's not going to come back the way that he was here the first time. And so, we're the ones that are going to represent him. We're the ones that people are going to see and they're going to know about Jesus. And that's what our assignment is. That's what our task is. Live our lives so they're going to show the world that they need Christ and they need his grace. And by living our lives, and we'll talk about some of the ways we can live them, but by living that way, people will see Christ and glorify him. Again, the only requirement to be an ambassador for Jesus is to be a Christian. The only requirement. Come on. Can we go to the next screen? The elders are not going to appoint you ambassadors. How does an ambassador in the United States, how did Mike Huckabee become ambassador to Israel? President Trump appointed him, and then the Senate voted on him. That's how he became that. How do Christians become ambassadors? Just by being a Christian. Just from that one moment that we become a new creation, we became an ambassador. At the time of Jesus, the ambassador was an ambassador of a king. And a lot of what their primary responsibility was they would go to a foreign government and they would bring a message. It might be a treaty, it might be something else, but they were communicators. That's what they were back in that time. So when Paul wrote this, he told the people, you're an ambassador. And the people understood that I'm an ambassador for the king. What king? The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. That's who we're ambassadors for. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we gain a new home, heaven. We still live on the earth. We still are United States citizens, but our home is heaven. And we represent God's kingdom. We're ambassadors for God and for His kingdom. We tend to think of Jesus as a suffering servant, which if you look at the Gospels and the way that He lived and the way that people treated Him and the way that He had to operate, He was that. He was that on His first coming. He was humble, loving, forgiving, healing. He did all of that. And that's our guide as we live our lives. But right now, let's think of Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. In VBS this year, I asked the question of the kids, what's a host? One of the girls said, well, it's when you invite people over to your house and you have a dinner for them and you're kind to them and you make them welcome, and that's a host. And she was absolutely correct. In the Bible, when it says that the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts, the host is different. When you see the word Lord of Hosts, you can substitute hosts, angel armies. It means angel armies. He is the Lord of angel armies. That's who He is right now. And when He comes back the second time, He's going to come back as leading the armies of heaven. So we want to be thinking of Him. When we live our lives and we're ambassadors, we want to be ambassadors like He was when He came the first time. All the ways we saw Him love people and forgive people and show no favoritism, heal people. That's the way we want to be ambassadors. But let's remember, we're not an ambassador of a suffering servant any longer. We're an ambassador of the Lord of Hosts, the King of the angel armies. In Acts, I don't know if you remember, there was a time when Peter and John saw this crippled man. And the man was looking at them, and he wanted them to give him some money, some alms, because he was begging. And they said, no, we're not going to give you money, but what we're going to do is we're going to heal you. And so they healed the man. Everybody heard about it. All the people in Jerusalem heard that he had healed them. And they ended up going to the Pharisees and, you know, telling them what had happened. And here was a kind of a response. And when they had set them in the midst, meaning they set Peter and John in the midst, they asked, by what power, and by what name have you done this? What power and what name have you done this? Peter said, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. Here's the next part. They sat and they talk about it a little bit, and they figure out, what are we going to do with these guys? Because we know that they healed this man, and we know that everybody knows that he was healed by them. So they called them back and they commanded them. They commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They did not want the name Jesus spoken. I wonder today, people want the name Jesus spoken? I don't know. Do we have a responsibility to make sure that the name of Jesus is spoken? You know, sometimes we say, thank God. And we know what we're talking about when we say, thank God. But God is a generic term. If a Muslim person heard you say that, it would be thank Allah. Just kind of a different thought process here. When we talk about God, we can use the name Jesus. We can say his name. We don't have to listen to what the Pharisees said. We can use his name. When we're ambassadors, there's another thing that's very, very similar and kind of lines right up with ambassador. And it's being a light to the world. Jesus talked about that. He said, "You are a light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Then he says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." When we're ambassadors, we have the opportunity to do good deeds. And if people know that we're Christians, glorify God. That's what it says, to glorify God in heaven, to glorify Jesus. If people know we're Christians and we don't perform so well, then it could give Christ a bad name. So I don't want to put a lot of pressure on us, but we do have quite a bit of pressure in the way that we live our lives, that we'd give Jesus a good name. Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth." We want to be good. Kind of a generic term, but we want to be good. We want to be good to people. We want people to look at us, and if they see us, then they're going to think highly of Jesus. And if they're not believers, they might want to know more about him. So we want to live that way. So what are the things we do as being ambassadors of light? What about showing forgiveness? Is that the way of the world? Is the way of the world to show forgiveness to somebody that's done something bad to you? Or is the way of the world to not forgive and get back at them, get even? We're to show forgiveness, no matter what somebody does to us. As Christians, we can't sit here and say, "I'm not going to forgive." Can't do it. I know it's hard. It's hard to do it, but we want to do it. And it'll show. It'll shine a light if somebody's done something to us bad and we forgive them. Showing love and kindness to any and all. No partiality, no favoritism. Don't care about ethnicity. Don't care about religion. I'm going to show kindness to people, loving kindness, regardless of the religion, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of whether they're a citizen or not. We're going to still show love to them, regardless of skin color. You can think of any kind of things that we might tend to start to show partiality and favoritism. We're not to do it. Jesus didn't do it. He ate with tax collectors. He met with a Samaritan woman at the well. He didn't really care about the people, where they were from, what they were. He showed no favoritism to them. And the ultimate way that he showed no favoritism was he died for them all. Being generous. Generous to those in need. Some of these things are maybe a little bit difficult, but they're things that we need to stretch ourselves with and challenge ourselves with. Another one, being a source of peace and calm in a very troubled world. What do you think of that one? Think the world is a calm place? Woke up to the news that we even went into Venezuela. I didn't quite accept that, and all of a sudden we're going to govern Venezuela. our president and those in charge, that's what their responsibility is, to figure out what the right thing to do. And it's pretty complicated. But there's a lot of people that see that and they get very troubled by it. They think that, oh boy, something's going to start happening. We can live in peace. We know who's in control. We know who knows the next chapter. We know who loves us. When we see a troubled world and things happening, we can show a lot of calm. Calm and peace that we have simply because the Holy Spirit's in us. And when we do that, that's a light. That's a light when we do that. Because a lot of people can't find that calm. Speaking the truth in love and with humility. We hear a lot of things that are not the truth. We're representing Christ. We're representing truth. In a love and humility, we can speak the truth in so many different ways. It's difficult to do, but we're called to do it. Sharing the good news of Jesus with kindness and respect. Sharing the gospel. Sometimes it's hard to do sometimes, but we need to do it. Living with integrity, with our words and our act. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say one thing, do another. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm talking to myself, by the way. I'm looking at all of you and I'm talking to myself. Don't be a hypocrite. Live with integrity. We need to pray often. We need to talk to the Lord and pray often and ask Him to help us be an ambassador. Help us be an example. Help us to be a light. Our ability comes from Him. It doesn't come from ourselves. And we need to continue talking to Him. Reading the Bible to know what Jesus would do. How many know what WWJD stands for? There's a bunch of people that didn't raise their hand. Anybody know what book it comes from? In His Steps. Anybody read In His Steps? I did a long time ago. It really impacted me greatly. And I just realized, I was looking up on Wikipedia about it. Some people think it's in the top 10 all-time selling books. Would you have thought that? Do you know what it's about? Let me see if I remember it very well. It was a church. It was written in 1896. It started off as a series of weekly inserts, and then it was turned into a book. About a church, a fairly affluent church in a city. And the city had, as any city might have, the rich area and the poor area. And a man came into the church one morning from the poor area, starving. Went into the church and kind of talked to the people at the church and let them know how much they had not been good ambassadors. How he had lived his life and just not been helped. And he actually died right in the church, right at that morning. Then the pastor made a challenge to the church for the next year. Don't do anything unless you first ask the question, what would Jesus do? And so the rest of the book talked about all of the challenges that people had. One guy was a newspaper editor. Another lady was an extremely rich woman. And it was a bunch of different people. And it talked about the challenges that they had and what they had to do. And how it turned their lives upside down. The book was very, very popular and actually started a movement. It was really a book about being a disciple and being an ambassador. But it got into the real nitty-gritty detail. What does that really mean? And it's not easy. It's simply not easy. But we're called to do it. We're ambassadors in our home. Fathers to children, children to parents, husband to wives. We're ambassadors in our neighborhood. We're ambassadors with our next door neighbor, with the folks in the neighborhood. Any ways that we can help them, and anything that we can do. We're ambassadors at church. There might be some disagreements here. Let's handle them in the way that the Lord would want us to handle them. And I'm not saying there's any kind of problem or anything, but in our church, as we talk with each other, work with each other, serve side by side with each other, we're to be ambassadors in church. Ambassadors as we manage God's possessions. How do we manage our money? How do we manage our time? How do we manage our skills? When we do it, are we asking ourselves the question, is this what how Jesus want me to use this time? Or how he would want me to use this money? When we're out shopping or at restaurants, we're in line and somebody budges ahead of us. Or if we're at a restaurant and the server doesn't get our food to us on time. How are we going to act? Are we going to show love and kindness? We're called to. When we're on the road and the person in front of us is not quite going the speed of when we'd like them to. They're going a little bit too slow. It is funny. But we could also think a little bit. You know, and when that happens, think a little bit. Wait a second. How would Jesus want me to act? It's a very simple little thing, but all of a sudden it kind of gets your mind thinking again here. Wait a second, I am living my life and going through the day, but I need to be thinking about what Jesus would want me to do. At work. I'm not working anymore, I'm retired, but I can remember the good old days at work. I worked with Stan Kasen, and Stan can remember me at work. There was times when I was a good ambassador, and there was times when I was not a good ambassador. But that doesn't mean I don't keep still trying. We forget about the times we didn't do well and keep going forward. When we're rejoicing and when we're sad. When we're rejoicing and when we're sad. People can see us. How are we rejoicing? How are we being sad? What are we doing? How does Christ fit into that? How does Jesus fit into that? When we're sick, when we're healed. Get a lot of emails from Kathy. When we're sick and when we're healed. There's a lot of folks going through a lot of difficult times. A little over 3 years ago, I had a heart transplant. Just before that, I was dying. I was called to be an ambassador. When things weren't going well, and I was called to be an ambassador when I was healed. And I thank the Lord for it. And every one of us get that opportunity. And when people see how we handle difficult times and they know we're Christians, it means a lot. It glorifies God, just as we saw earlier, by our deeds and by what we do. And Ryan said he looked back at 2025, and I was thinking about that, and then we're heading into 2026. Does anybody know what's going to come your way? Does anybody know who we serve? Who we're an ambassador for? Who's going to give us peace and calm? We all know that. Christ isn't going to change. He's still on his throne. We're still his kids. He still loves us. Nothing's going to happen to us. Nothing at all. Unless he allows it to happen. And we'll thank him and praise him and love him and just be so, so thankful. I wanted to go to that one last spot on the previous. We're ambassadors all the way up to our deathbed. There's folks that pass and they know they're going to pass and they're on their deathbed. And people taking care of them, they know they're Christians. means a lot to people, a real lot to people, if they see somebody who's facing eternity and that person has peace and that person lives that example. So we're ambassadors from the moment of birth to the moment of death. Okay, next slide. We're going to have good ambassador moments, and we're going to have not so good ambassador moments. Don't give up. Don't give up. Ask the Lord to forgive you for the not so good ambassador moment, and then recognize you're going to have another ambassador moment. You're going to have another opportunity. Always remember that Jesus is our shepherd. The Bible says that he knows every one of his sheep. He doesn't lose one of them. And he's our shepherd. He loves us. He's going to take care of us in the good times and the bad. Nothing's going to happen to us without him knowing about it. And get great peace in that. Live our lives that way. Living the life of an ambassador of Christ. We just went through two charts of all the challenges that we have being an ambassador. So actually, it's hard. It's hard to live the life of a good ambassador. It's hard to live the life of a good disciple. But becoming one is easy. It's tough to live the life of a Christian, but become a Christian is easy. All the work was done for us. It's a free gift from God. Okay, next slide. There might be somebody here this morning who's not saved, not a believer, thinking about it, wondering about it, trying to figure out what this is all about. And I just wanted to share this with you. As we saw earlier, we got a problem with sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you had inherited from your ancestors. It was not paid with silver or gold, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ on the cross, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Remember in the Corinthians passage right at the very end? He made him who knew no sin to be sin so that you can become the righteousness. We know what that means? It means that Jesus, when he was on the cross, a man who had never sinned in his entire life, all of the sins of the world, all of my sins, all of the sins of everybody in this room were put on him. He never committed a sin. But our sins were on him. And he died. And his blood paid the price for our sins. It's simple. Salvation is simple. It's receiving the gift. All that work of being an ambassador, that's after you're saved. That's after you're saved. To become saved is very, very easy. We just tell Jesus that we're sinners. Ask him to forgive us. Ask him to be our Savior. When we're talking to him, we know he's alive. We're not talking to a dead guy in the tomb. We're talking to someone who's alive. If there's anyone here this morning, I just pray that you'd give some serious thought to this. This is the message of reconciliation. It's the message of reconciliation. Jesus died for our sins. We're going to close our time with a song. By the way, I really appreciate our worship team. You guys, they are so good. I appreciate them. The song that we're going to sing is called the Revelation Song, because the words of the song come from the book of Revelation. It's really picturing, remember we said Jesus was the suffering servant, but now he's the King in heaven. He's in heaven right now. He's on a throne. He's being worshipped. He's being adored. And this song is talking about that. So why don't we end our time this morning? We're going to sing the song. But you know what? Let's sing it side by side as ambassadors and with God, for God. Let's praise Him. Let's lift our voices up and recognize who King Jesus is and thank Him for all He's done.
Thank you, Mark. Why don't we stand and sing?
Yeah.
let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for today, a time to worship, time to step into a room where we're pretty comfortable, where we come to church, where we come to say hi to our friends and our family. And I think what Mark is saying is, you can't just live like a Christian in church. Lord, that's what I'm hearing this morning. And so as we're called to by you, to be known by you, to be freed from our sins, set free to live for you, Lord, we want to do that in such a way that when we leave this place, that you're going with us and that we're walking with you and that people know that we love you by the way that we live. Pray that we wouldn't just have words that say we're Christians, but that our lives would match also. And I pray for each person who's here this morning, no matter where they're at in their journey, that you would work in their hearts today. Thank you for this time. Help us to be ambassadors for you every day that we live. Thank you for Mark and this word. Bless the rest of our day in Jesus' name. Everybody said with me, amen. You guys can head on out. God bless. Have a great beginning of the year.